In Genesis chapter 42 and verse 21, "Then they said to one another, 'We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore his distress has come upon us.'" For a few minutes this moment, I want us to consider the attitude of Christ and Joseph. I invite you to turn in your Bibles back to the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking at some scriptures starting around chapter 37. Before we get into the lesson, I want to thank everyone for being able to come out this evening. We have a visitor with us. We are especially glad you came to be with us. You are honored guests. As we have up here, we're simply Christians. Our emphasis is spiritual, not material or social. We're striving to be the church that you can read about in the New Testament. Having a little technical difficulty here. We'll try this now. The attitude of Joseph, or the attitude of Christ in Joseph. To set the background, when we look at Joseph, Joseph came out of great tribulation to inherit a kingdom of privilege and honor. When we look in Genesis chapter 37, we see that his father Jacob sends Joseph to find his brothers who are grazing their flocks in Shechem and report back on how they are doing. Joseph travels on this long trip to Shechem. When Joseph arrives there, he searches the grazing grounds, the pasture, but he cannot find his brothers. A man tells him that he overheard them saying that they were going to move on to other pastures in Dothan. In Genesis 37, and remember, Joseph's brothers are jealous of Joseph because he was Jacob's favorite son, and he showed favoritism to him. They were jealous, and they see this opportunity to get rid of their brother, and they plot to kill him. Well, one of the brothers, Reuben, he protests and tells them not to kill Joseph or shed his blood. He suggests sparing his life and putting him into a well. And he was planning on coming back to take him out of that well later. In Genesis 37, 23 through 24, Joseph's brothers grab him and wrestle off this coat. They throw him into this well. While he was in there, the brothers see some Ishmaelite traders coming from Gilead. Their camels are loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they are taking them down to Egypt. And Reuben is not with them at this time. Judah comes up with the idea of selling Joseph to the Ishmaelite traders. The brothers agree to this plan, and they sell Joseph to them for 20 shekels of silver. Well, Reuben returns finding Joseph is missing. He tears his clothes in grief. He finds what has happened, fearing that he is going to get the blame. So Joseph is taken down into Egypt by these Ishmaelite traders. In Egypt, Joseph is taken to the slavery market where he's going to be sold. And Potiphar, who is the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, he is in the market looking for a slave. And Potiphar buys Joseph. In chapter 37, down around verse 32, the brothers came up with a plan to explain Joseph's disappearance. They kill a goat, they take the blood, and they dip Joseph's coat into this blood. Then they take it back to their father, where his father assumes that his son has been killed by a wild animal. Jacob tears his clothes, he puts on sackcloth, he cries deeply, he's beside himself, no one can comfort him, and he says that he's going to mourn for Joseph the rest of his life. So, like Jesus, Joseph was despised by his brethren. He was exalted by the king to his own right hand. There was a lot of other things that transpired when he was down there. When he was a slave in Potiphar's household, and Potiphar's wife made advances on Joseph. And you think about the temptation that he faced, and it would have been, in one sense, no different than the temptation that Jesus faced in the wilderness, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He was despised by his brethren. He was mistreated. And we know with Christ, as long as Christ was in the world, he was despised by his own nation. Joseph, as we're going to see, we're going to focus on Joseph when his brothers come back down to Egypt. And until they know Joseph, their brother, and who he is, his dealings with them are rather mysterious. And so it is with us in Christ. Until we know Christ, our dealings with him are rather strange and puzzling. So in this lesson, we want to fast forward now when the brothers come down to Egypt, where this famine is taking place. And we're going to look at Joseph and his relationship as a lord and brother. So notice with Joseph the attitude of Christ in Joseph, the attitude that he assumed. In chapter 42 and 23, "But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter." So this is years later. Joseph is wearing Egyptian garments. The brothers had not yet been reconciled to Joseph, and he could not talk to them as a friend face to face. Well, before we are reconciled to God or Christ, Christ cannot talk to us face to face as a friend because we aren't reconciled. Well, how does Christ talk to us? He talks to us through his word. The Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God, the mind of Christ. It was written down and recorded. And that word, what does that word do? It cuts people to their hearts. Like when we read in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, they were cut to their heart because of what they had done by persecuting Christ. And while we are strangers with Christ, he does not deal with us as a brother, but as a ruler. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But notice with Joseph, the manner of his speech. In chapter 42 and verse 7, Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." He spoke roughly to them. There must have been so many things flooding his mind at this time. He would have recognized his brothers. They would have been dressed as they always were and knew their looks, their mannerisms. And he must have wondered about his father. He probably wondered, as Jacob was a rich man, he probably wondered why Jacob hadn't come down to search for him. Jacob could have done that. Joseph had been in prison for a long time. Why didn't Jacob go searching for his favorite son? Because Jacob thought Joseph was dead. But Joseph didn't know that. And he sees his brothers, and he spoke roughly to them. They didn't know who he was, but his brothers were guilty, and his brothers had not confessed their sin. And they must be made to feel the bitter pain of guilt of their sin before they could experience forgiving love. And so it is with us. We must go through the pain, the depths of our guilt, of the sin that we've committed, before we can enjoy the depths of God's love. if Jesus by his Spirit speaks hard things to us, it is that we might be prepared for his exceeding great kindness. When we read in God's Word, there are some tough things, but he is preparing us for what is to come. So with Joseph then and his brothers, notice the results that follow. In chapter 42 and verse 21, then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." So there are things that are transpiring with Joseph, who they do not recognize, and his brothers, and they're thinking, all of these things that are happening to us, there's a reason it's happening to us. It's because of what we did to our brother. They're starting to feel the guilt of their sin. We are truly guilty. Their sin has been brought to their remembrance. We are surely guilty. This is the opening of the door of our heart. Our heart is not going to be opened until we recognize that we have sinned against God. So many people, that is never going to happen to them because they don't hear about sin and the nature of sin and how it separates us from God. And they think that they are fine. That's one of Satan's biggest lies. You're fine the way you are. But once we feel that guilt, the door of our heart is going to open. And then through the Word, we can, as once we were dead, we can be made alive through that Word. So notice then the attitude of Christ and Joseph, the privilege that they enjoyed. In chapter 43 and verse 16, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon." They have acknowledged their sin at this point, and now they receive the favor of Joseph. They still don't know who Joseph is, but they receive this favor. And what grace it would be to be brought to the house of Joseph, the prince, and dine with them. These brothers that have traveled down to get food during this famine, and the prince of Egypt says, "You're going to come to my house and dine with me." What does Christ do for us? Christ invites us to come to him. Before we know who he is, he invites us. We do not fully understand. We come to learn that he's the Son of God, that he came and died for our sins, but we do not appreciate who he is until we learn more about him. Consider the attitude of Christ in Joseph and the compassion that he showed. Three times we see Joseph weeping. It was gut-wrenching to him what was taking place with himself and his brothers. In Genesis 42 and 24, "And he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he turned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes." In Genesis 43 and 30, "Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there." Remember, Benjamin was still back at home. Benjamin was not with them. And he sees his brothers. "And where's my other brother?" They shared the same mother. He wanted to see his brother and he wept. And in Genesis 45, 2, "And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it." He was weeping and crying so loud that the other Egyptians heard it and the house of Pharaoh heard it. He was torn up. What tenderness was in his heart. And you stop and you think about Christ, and Christ would speak harshly. You think about him speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, and what did he call them so often? You hypocrites. You hypocrites. And he would go on and speak to them roughly because they needed to hear what he had to say. But his heart was so tender. When he talked to the Pharisees that way, we know that Jesus didn't take pleasure in that, because God doesn't want any man to be lost. He wants everybody to be saved. And when we talk to people today, we might need to talk sternly, but even when we talk sternly, we must do it with love in our heart. We cannot talk to someone with a hateful heart. And you think about Paul. And Paul, as we have been studying in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." When these people that were with Paul had gone back into the world, and he knew it was going to happen, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Did Paul take pleasure and say, "I told you so"? No, he talked about it with weeping. Do we see the attitude of Christ in Joseph? And friends, as we're going through all of these, I hope you've made the connection already. We need to see the attitude of Christ in ourselves. Well, the next thing to notice is the victory that he gained. In chapter 44 and verse 33, "Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers." The one who sold them now says, "Let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord." You stop and think about this. Jacob, when he blessed his 12 sons, they were a mix of wild, rough men. At one point, Jacob said, "You've made my name odious. You've made my name stink among the nations." What did they did? They had committed incest within their own family. One of the four nations wanted to marry one of Jacob's daughters, and the brother said, "Okay, you can do this, but before you do that, you have to be circumcised like we are." And then so many days after they were circumcised and in such pain, what did the brothers do? They went in and they slaughtered all the people. And Jacob says, "You've made my name stink among the other nations." Why would God choose the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel, to be the great leaders? He did not choose them because of what they were, but he chose them because of what they would become. And friends, that's the same with all of us. God does not choose us because of what we were. He chooses us because of what we can become. And now here we see a brother that wanted to kill his other brother. Then a brother that wanted to, well, we won't kill him, we'll just sell him, we'll get rid of him. And now he's torn in his heart. Let me stay as your slave, and let the lad go with his brothers. Do you see what time and circumstance does to people? How it works on our heart, to open our heart to the providence of God. And it's interesting too, all of these things that happened when God told Abraham, he told him ahead of time, "You're going to go to a strange land, and your people are going to be in captivity for 400 years and they're going to go out of captivity. I'm going to lead them out. And all the things that transpired for Abraham's descendants to get down to Egypt when they were in bondage and then God delivered them out, there was not a single miracle involved. It was all by common happenings. It was all by common happenings that God's purpose was brought about. So notice the revelation then that he makes. In chapter 45 and verse 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." And in chapter 44 and verse 16, then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." Joseph says, "Come here. I'm your brother." And it struck them. God found out. God knew what we did wrong. We are guilty. And now we are going to have to pay for it. But Joseph, he couldn't restrain from making himself known. And what does he do? What does he say? Jesus Christ, like Joseph, he offers us tender gifts and invitations to come near to him that he might reveal himself to us. This blessing can only be enjoyed by those that come near to him. What if Joseph said, "Come near to me," and his brothers didn't come? It's not hard to figure out. They wouldn't have enjoyed the blessings. What if when Jesus says, "Come unto me," we don't come unto him? It's not hard to figure out. We aren't going to be able to enjoy all the blessings that he has to offer us. Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is the great invitation of Jesus. And notice the attitude of Christ in Joseph, the comfort he administered. In chapter 45 and verse 5, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." And 45:15, "Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." What a relief it would have been to them. Don't be grieved or angry. You did it for one reason. God did it for another. And we see again God's providence. "God sent me before you to preserve life." If they had not sold Joseph to those Ishmaelite traders that were heading to Egypt, and if Joseph was not put into prison and all the things transpired and interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, he would not have been elevated as prince in the land, set over the storehouses to store the grain during the 7 years of plenty, and when the famine came, everybody would have died. "Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." And notice the forgiving spirit that Joseph had. He kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Friend, do you see the attitude of Christ and Joseph? Do you see the story of Christ in the story of Joseph? Do you see the story of us in the story of Joseph and Christ? When the Lord makes himself known to us, we have the assurance of forgiveness through his word. When Joseph made himself known to his brothers, they were scared. We're going to get what we deserve. Christ isn't going to give us what we deserve unless we don't repent. And when Christ reveals himself to us, to the Word, and he invites us to come to him, we're in a relation. We are to talk with him. And we see with Joseph, when he makes himself known to his brothers, he forgives them. They are reconciled together. That's what Christ does. He reconciles us to God. And we have fellowship. And we think about how precious that fellowship is. You think about a family that's been estranged and at odds with each other, and they don't talk with each other, and then they get back together. How sweet and precious that is. And hopefully that's going to be the attitude of all of us, where we can be forever with the Lord in fellowship and communion with him, talking with him, praising him, like we read about in the book of Revelation, around the throne, praising him night and day, over and over and over. Worthy art thou for everything that God has done for us, that Christ has done for us. The attitude of Christ in Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ, a type representing Christ, and an example for us, that we should have those characteristics, that love in us, that spirit of forgiveness, that wanting to be reunited with others. And again, it was all done to the glory of God. Friends, if there's anyone here that wants to make their life right with God, God has made all things possible to do. He's explained it to us. All things are ready. If anyone this morning needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.